From my side again, if you're visiting with us, we're the Cape Town Church of Christ. My wife and I serve as sort of congregational evangelists for the church. It's great to have you with us this morning. This is a tremendous time for us. I shared on Friday night, we've been celebrating the whole weekend, but on Friday night I shared that earlier in this week at the breakfast, around the breakfast table, we were saying, what do we say at an event like this for the two of us? What do we communicate? And the kids were around with the table, and then my oldest daughter and Elisa saying, well, should I say this? And I said, well, what about this? And then my oldest daughter said, why don't you just say, walk up and say, let's get this party started. So I do want to say to you this morning, please enjoy a great time of celebration with us. We hope that we can still show you the little video afterwards. A special thank you from my side for everyone involved in this event. The worship team, what a great time of worship together over the weekend. The sound crew, the AV guys, the light guys, everyone, thank you so much for everything that you've done to make this a wonderful weekend for us. I've got a message for us this morning, and I entitled the message, The Irresistible Church. But before we get into that, let's say a prayer together. Father, thank you so much that you've been so incredibly kind to us over the last 21 years. And we have the privilege of knowing you, that we have the privilege of being in a relationship with you. Thank you that we can do it together. I pray, Father, that everyone would in some way feel special and dear to you today, that they'll know how much they're loved by you. I pray, Father, for each of us here, that you'll continue to enlarge the eternity that you've set in our hearts. It will continue to grow as we study the scriptures, as we fellowship, and as we worship together. Father, please lead me as I speak this morning. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. The Irresistible Church. Now, I've only been a Christian for 19 years. So shorter than my wife and shorter than the church's existence. I only came in about 2 years after the church got started. And it's been great to see the church grow from strength to strength in so many ways and areas. But what I want to talk about this morning is how can we continue to grow in becoming an irresistible church? When something is irresistible, it is alluring. It is magnetic almost. It is relentless in persuasion. When something is irresistible, it cannot be refused. For women, I'll try and get a picture up. It could be this. So women, they walk past this and they say, oh man, I have to have it. I cannot help it. Stay away from the light, but it's drawing me. For men, the picture might look a little bit different. Let's show you another one. That's my car in my house. But it's sort of when a man walks past a car like that, there is something irresistible about it. Really, independent if you're 18 or 70, there's something inside of us that just, I want to see more of it. Let me quickly look closer by. When something is irresistible, it has a strong draw. It is like a choice banquet that you walk past and you're on a diet and it's the wedding and you know you shouldn't. But as you look at the food, there's something again in the food that almost just says, eat me, eat me. I want you to be a part of me, or I want to be a part of you. An irresistible church. How do we become an irresistible church? When I say irresistible, I'm not talking about becoming a church that is irresistible to people. I'm talking about a church that would be irresistible to heaven. A church that heaven cannot help but say, we want to be involved with them. Where heaven says, I want to get involved in that marriage. I want to get involved in that small group. I want to get involved in that person's life because their life to me, to God, and to the angels is simply irresistible. That when the service is done, is said and done, it is heaven that shouts, encore, encore. When you had your time with God, it is heaven that again shouts, encore, encore. How do we continue to grow? That is the question. How do we continue to grow to become that kind of church? How do we continue to live that kind of life that God says, I want to bless that life? I come to tell you that I don't have the answer, but I can give you some guidance. And this morning, I want to ask three questions that I cannot answer for you. I can share about these questions about my own life. But for each of us this morning, I want you to go and think about answering these questions for yourself. I believe we'll become more irresistible if we can answer this question. How do we increase the likelihood of hearing God's voice with greater clarity and frequency? How do we increase the likelihood of hearing God's voice with greater clarity and frequency? When I say hearing God's voice, I'm not talking about audible. I'm not talking about you driving in your car and suddenly you just hear, John. I'm not talking about that. When that happens, I don't know if I want that. I'm talking about when you can sense in your spirit that God is saying something to you. But so my question is, how do we increase the likelihood that you can hear God's voice with greater clarity and greater frequency? And James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, come near to God and He will come near to you. Come near to God and He will come near to you. How do we become a church? How do we become a family where we will draw near to God so that He will draw near to us? How do we become a people and a church that seeks His presence and His guidance in a greater way? How do we become more and more like the little boy Samuel that said, speak, Father, for your servant is listening. And I want to hear what it is that you want to say to me. I want to understand the direction that you have for my life. I think we become irresistible when we seek His presence, as we open our hearts to His whisper. Through the years, I've often prayed up to about a couple of years ago. I would often pray and I would say, and maybe you've done this as well. I would pray and I would say, God, please, as I go into this situation, please be with me. I don't know if any of you guys have ever done that. Any? Who of us has said that before, that prayer? God, please be with me. Okay. And in a morning like this, I want to say, please be with us. But in time, I realized, but God's always with us. So I had to change that prayer. And actually, over the last couple of years, what I've been praying, instead of praying, God, please be with me, I would pray, God, please help me to sense your presence. Because you are with me, but I'm not always aware with it. So this morning, Father, please help us to sense your presence. Then I went through a time where I would say, God, please speak to me. Please just show me the way. Please just say something. Don't be so quiet. Ever gone through that? Please give me the direction. And here's the funny thing. You're praying that prayer. Someone comes up to you. They say, hey, I just want to mention something that I've seen in your life. No, no. God, please speak to me. But here's the thing. Speak to me. And I've had to change that prayer to say, God, please help me to hear your whisper. Because I believe that God is speaking to us every single moment of our lives. But we get so busy that we cannot hear Him. Therefore, I want to ask you the question. What is it that you need to do personally to increase the likelihood of hearing His voice with greater clarity and frequency? What is it that you need to do? Because God is guiding us all the time. I remember 20 years ago, I was in the Navy back then. Back then, we still have a Navy, but you had to go after school. If you're white, you had to go. I was white, well, I am still, and I went. I was here at Wingfield Base, and my wife's mother actually called the base and said that Lisa, I don't know why that worked that way, but her mother said to me that Lisa, my wife, wants to invite me to a Bible discussion that night. So that's interesting. And something inside of me just said, go. Now, I was on duty that night, and I literally had to AWOL to go. So I had to climb over a couple of fences, and eventually it was a big fence, and there was a tree right next to it. Climbed up in the tree, hanged out of the branch, dropped down on the other side, hitched to go to Bible talk. Why? Something inside of me just felt like God was saying, go. Then as I went to this Bible discussion, everyone was older than me. I was the youngest person. I disagreed with a lot of things that were said. And I said to myself the whole time as I sat there, don't let anyone entrap you. Don't get close to them in any way or manner. And then afterwards, one of the guys came up to introduce himself, and he said, "Hey, won't you be interested in getting to know the Bible a little bit better?" And yet, everything inside of me is, no, I don't want to. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want this. And yet, something inside of me made my head nod and say, yes. The rest is history. When I was confronted with the decision, when I was asked if, after I studied as a campus student, I was asked whether I would be interested in serving in the full-time ministry. Again, Justin shared about that on Friday night. It was out at him and his dad's house in Johannesburg that I prayed through that. And they and all the neighbors heard me in their prayer. But it was something, again, I needed God's guidance. And it just became, it was first fuzzy, but then it was clear. It's what God wanted me to do. It was the same thing when I got married. It was the same thing when we had our first child. It was the same thing when we adopted our second child. It was a sense of prayer and God answering prayers. In our weekly staff meetings, as a ministry staff, we often start our meeting by asking this question. I'll ask this question. We go around. I spend 2 minutes. What is it that God has been teaching you? What is it that God has been teaching you through your Bible study? What is it that God has been teaching you through what it is that you're reading? And what is it that God has been teaching you through circumstances? Whatever resonates with you, what is it that God has been teaching you? And we go around and we can learn from each other's experiences and we realize how active God is. I believe for some of us this morning that God has been speaking to you. And you don't want to hear it. But He does. It is sometimes when you lie in bed late at night, He's saying something. He's saying, get your act together. Get back on the horse, or get on the horse the first time around. Resolve your relationships. Forgive that person. Get more involved. God is speaking, but we're too busy. And we can't hear. And when we don't listen, heaven cannot get involved. But when we become like the little boy Samuel, we can hear. We need to develop as a church a greater sense of His presence and listen for His whisper. We need to learn how to sync our hearts with heaven's heart. We need to plug our hearts into God's heart. See what He sees. Value what He values. Be touched by what He is touched by. And I believe then we become irresistible. Because then God says, I know what you feel and I'm with you. So question number one to ponder upon. How do you increase the likelihood of hearing God's voice with greater clarity and frequency? Question number two. How do we love in unprecedented ways? How do we love in unprecedented ways? In John chapter 13, I'm going to put the text up on the screen. I don't know how many of us have Bibles here, so you can take a look at that. But in John chapter 13, Jesus speaks. And He says, a new command I give you. Love one another. Now, we're already in John 13. People must have thought, listen, you've been speaking about love quite some time. There's nothing new about this. But there He says it. A new command I give you. Love one another. And here's where we get to see as to why He says it. He says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are My disciples, if you love one another. Previously, the Bible said, love one another as you love yourself. Now He is saying, love one another as I have loved you. The disciples have walked with Him for a couple of years now. They've seen everything happen. They've seen Him serve people. They've seen Him give Himself to them. They knew that He had to die for them. And He's saying, love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. For me, to love as Jesus loved, for me on a personal level, means that I need to love in unprecedented ways. Meaning I most probably need to love in ways that goes against my nature. I need to be getting involved in and doing some things that I don't feel comfortable with. Because it's not who I am, but yet it is who Jesus is. And so question number two is, how do we love in unprecedented ways? This is a question that has been haunting me for about 2 months now. What happened is about 2 months ago, we had a couple over here. The brother, Paul Ramsey, serves as an elder in one of our sister churches in the United States. And he did a great class on marriage here. We got to spend some time, ask him a lot of questions. Afterwards, ask him a lot of questions as we went to the airport, sort of, hey, what can you tell me about the church? What do we do well? What do you think we can grow? What can we do better? And he had a couple of thoughts to say, but not really much. And I asked again, and he sort of said the same thing. And we went down that a couple of times, and off they went on the airplane. A couple of days later, we followed, joining a conference again in Johannesburg. And while we're fellowshipping there, he approached me and he said, hey, can we maybe have lunch together? Now, usually when that kind of thing happens, I know it wasn't that he wanted to learn from me. He's been a disciple for like 40 years or something. And I know he's not going to take out his notepad and just say, just tell me more. And I'm sweating. But Lisa and I, we sat down and they were incredibly kind. But he said this, he said, listen, I'm not sure if the church feels loved by you. I didn't really want to hear that. But it so floored me that we literally, Lisa and I, packed our bags, went to a coffee shop, and we discussed the question. And we said, does the church really feel loved by us? Are we emotionally connecting with the church? And we started reasoning through that and saying, what does this mean for us? How do we make that connection? How can we know what's in everyone's heart? How can we make sure that we connect? We can obviously not connect with every single person, but how do we widen our reach? So I was praying through this one morning, and I realized, well, what I can do is, why don't I just ask people what I can pray for them for? And when you ask someone what you can pray for them for, you can start seeing what's on their heart. And at my office, in front of my desk, I've got a list of every member that's in the church. All the names. And so I started going down, saying, okay, well, which one? And I started sending emails. I said, okay, listen here, as I was thinking about you and as I was praying through this morning, different names came to mind, and I said, hey, I just want to know, what can I pray for you for? And it was fascinating to hear the things that people said. And some was very basic. Some would be, I just want to grow spiritually. Others would be, I'm so concerned about my adult children that does not know God. Please pray for me. Others would be, I'm in financial dire straits. Please be praying for that. Others would be, my child is extremely sick and needs to go in for operation. Please be praying for that. And so every morning I'll take the list and I would add to it and I'll start praying through it and praying through it and praying through it. But then as I started praying through these things and saying, God, please help this sister in her financial dire straits, I realized, but I can actually do something about it. I'm praying every day now for about a week, God, please help so-and-so. But I'm thinking, man, we are a church for almost 300 people. We can help. I said, well, how can we do that? Let's figure it out. Let's help. Then praying, I was praying for Brent and Lynn and their daughter. They've got a two-month-old daughter, Abigail. She's a beautiful little girl. And she had to go in for a heart operation a couple of weeks ago, 2 months old. That was overwhelming to me. My kids are a lot older. The one is 1 year and something. Then there's one that's five. And there's one that's nine. But I cannot imagine that my kids, if my kids would have to go for that kind of surgery, I cannot imagine what I would be going through. And so I had to ask myself, how can I support them? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a surgeon. I can pray for them. And eventually I just called and said, can I just pray for you guys? Can I come over to the hospital and just say a prayer for you? And I don't even know what to pray for. I mean, obviously we're praying that a miracle will happen. Obviously we're praying that we'll go well, but what can I pray for you? Do you feel overwhelmed? Do you feel afraid? And I appreciate that they allowed me into their life and they allowed me to sit there with them. And eventually it's a small little ward at Chris Barnard Hospital in town. And where Brent and I went to the parking lot, into my car, and we were able to just sit and and pray together. But you know what? That doesn't come naturally for me. Yes, you're right. I am the minister. It's supposed to. You know what? It doesn't come naturally for me. Maybe it does for you, and some of you are way ahead of me on many of these things, but then I want to ask you, what does it mean for you to love in an unprecedented way? What does it mean for you to love your wife in an unprecedented way? You know what your wife needs. You know what your kids need. You know what your husband needs. What does it mean for you to love in an unprecedented way? About 2 weeks ago, I think 3 weeks ago, Jock, a friend of mine, Jock Hennis, and I drove down from Johannesburg. I've not made that trip in about 18 years by car. And just outside of Colesberg and Cape Town, so about 50 kilometers outside of Colesberg, on our way to Cape Town, the car just died. It was just, you could feel it just gone, no more action. I said, dude, you won't believe it, the car just died. He said, no, really? I said, yes. I mean, we're still doing it some speed here on momentum, and we pull off the road, and there we sit. It is 35 degrees. The tar is melting to my shoes. We swing. Please, Lord, please. No action. We eventually call a towaway truck. This guy takes like 3 hours. The closest shade is over 3 hours away for us. We were so dehydrated afterwards. I mean, I drank about a liter of cool drink, about 6 or 7 glasses of water, a double thick milkshake, and I was still dehydrated, and I still just wanted to drink some more and drink some more and drink some more and drink some more. So there, after about another 2 hours with a mechanic, he looks under the car and he says, you know what? I said, no, I don't know what. Tell me what. He says, you have a problem. I said, really, hey? Yeah, think. So we can't fix it here. We'll have to courier the car to Cape Town. So we said, okay, how do we get home? We try buses. We try to get on a bus. All the buses are booked. So eventually I call James. James tells me there's a bus coming at 11 o'clock that night. We can try standby. If someone drops us at this petrol garage, they drop us at the petrol garage. We wait. As we're getting closer and closer to 11 o'clock, we realize if we can't get on the bus, where do we sleep? So now we're calling guest houses, trying to figure out, well, if this doesn't work out, would someone come and get us? No one wanted to. Then we remembered there was another bus at 9, but it's 5 kilometers away. We realized that with 35 minutes to spare. And so we try and figure out, can we run 5 kilometers down the N1 in 30 minutes? And then get on a bus and go to Cape Town. The bus that might be full. And as we sort of running, I said to Joe, Chuck, man, I'm almost 40. I don't think we should be doing this. So we go back to the garage. Now we start begging for lifts. You know, you've seen people like that? Who of us gives lifts to those kind of people? The first person Jock asks is a poor woman. I thought, dude, at least start with a man. I mean, he opened his mouth, the woman's eyes were, no, everything's full here, everything's full. We tried truck drivers. No place. So eventually we called the police. We said, can you come and get us? And take us to the other stop. They said, no problem, can you believe it? I said, you have to be here in 10 minutes. They're late. They arrived 7 minutes to 9. 4 policemen in a double cab bucky. Jock and I are in the back. Lock us in. We're good to go. These guys do that 5Ks in 3 minutes. I get car sick. I was almost vomiting as I got out of the back to get to a bus where they said, sorry, we're full. Then we made the call. And we called home. And Rian said, listen here, hey, we'll come and pick you up. And I appreciate them so much. They, that night at 1 a.m., got in the car, drove 9.5 hours to Colesberg to pick us up. They arrived, they jumped in the pool, got back in the car, and drove 9.5 hours back to come and drop us in Cape Town the next day. Unprecedented love. Can you imagine what would happen if each of us in this room would love that way? Can you imagine what would happen in your family? Can you imagine what would happen at work? Can you imagine even just this room and the whole city if everyone says, I will love in an unprecedented way. I will go against my own nature and I will look out for the small things, whether it's just a phone call, whether it's a couple of rands for someone, but I will go the extra mile. I believe when we do that, I believe we'll become irresistible to heaven. My final question, and certainly not the least, is how do we develop a stronger, clearer, and more compelled sense of mission? How do we develop a stronger, clearer, more compelling sense of mission? In Matthew 28, Jesus is about to depart, and he goes up a mountaintop with the disciples. And it says in verse 18, then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I think we're so used to the scripture that we forget what it must have meant for them. They've walked with Jesus. They've realized, although some doubt it, they've realized he was the Messiah. They realize he's the Son of God. They realize he's the Deliverer. They go up to the mountaintop. He's saying, listen, your all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. They say, we know. We've seen you walk on water. We've seen you calm storms. We've seen you resurrect. We cannot wait to see what you're going to do next. And he says, on that note, I'm out of here. And I'm telling you, the 11, go make disciples of all nations. I know we're in this small town, but I believe in you. And I believe that God has given you a greater sense of mission than what you guys have done up to now, and that you can change the world. And I'm going, and I will be in heaven, but I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And I can imagine what they must have thought and felt and the kind of discussions that they must have had afterwards. I can imagine Thomas saying, I'm not sure about this. I feel like there's a little bit of doubt. I can imagine Peter just saying, let's do it. I don't know what we're going to do, but let's just do it. And you know, they did it. And Acts chapter 2 says, and the Lord, because of their heart, their spirit, their attitude, Acts chapter 2, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I believe God looked at their hearts and he said, this is simply irresistible. I have to get involved. 21 years ago, and prayerfully, we'll see this on the video clip. Is our video clip ready yet? Can anyone tell me? So? Okay. You'll see that, prayerfully, you'll see the house that the disciples first met in here in Cape Town in the Oranjezicht 21 years ago. But 21 years ago, there were 18 people sitting in a house praying that somehow God would be with them. They had belief and faith that God could work through them. They had a compelling sense of mission. Many of them, not South Africans, saying, we believe that God can do something in Cape Town. Can you imagine that what they saw was that in 21 years from now, about 1,000 people will meet in Para High School of all places, worshiping God together. Why are we here? We're here because someone believed. We're here because someone was compelled. We're here because someone wanted to pay it forward. I want to ask you, what is it for you? What is it going to take for you to have a clearer, more compelling sense of mission? Well, you can say, my life has been saved. And not only saved from into eternity, but saved right here. God has saved me from so much destruction, and I want to pay it forward. Can we envision ourselves? Can we envision that if each of us just go home with that kind of faith, if we maybe meet in groups of 10 in a house and we pray those same prayers, and we say 21 years from now, we want this one group to be able to meet separately and the same size as we are here today. For Christ's love compels us to no longer live for ourselves, but to Him who died for us and was raised again. How do we do that? Only you can answer the question. Only you can. So as we enter a new year, which I'm very excited about, as we enter a new 21 years, I want to ask us that we'll ponder on those three questions. Number one, how can I increase the likelihood? How do I increase the likelihood of hearing God's voice with greater clarity and frequency? Number two, how do I love in an unprecedented way, even if it's small, but unprecedented for me? And number three, how do I develop a stronger, clearer, and more compelling sense of mission? And I believe as we do that, heaven will shout, encore, encore, and God will get more and more involved. We love you, Lisa and I. We do hope and pray that today would be a tremendous day for each of us celebrating 21 years of oneness. God bless.